You're listening to the Parkside Christian Church podcast. Here at Parkside, our mission is to love God, love people, and help others do the same. To learn more, visit ParksideChristian.com.
Hey guys, my name is Rachel Phillips, and I'm the student minister here. A lot of you in first service might not really ever see me because I'm normally on the other side of the building, hiding away in the West Gym with some students. I'm sad I'm not there with them right now. I know they're in great hands, though, talking through 1 Thessalonians. But today, I'm with you guys, and we're going to be talking through Mark a little bit more. So today, I'm just going to jump right in. We're going to be in Mark 5, but I'm going to give just a little recap of the end of Mark 4. Last week, we didn't get all the way to the very end of Mark 4, when Matt was talking about the parables. So I'm just going to give a little recap of what happens at the end of Mark 4. So Jesus and the disciples, they are crossing the Sea of Galilee. And there was a major storm that even the most experienced fishermen on this boat, they were afraid. And Jesus, it says that he was asleep on a cushion, on a pillow, in the stern. How was he asleep with a pillow, just chilling, when all of these experienced fishermen were like freaking out? So the disciples, they wake up Jesus and they say, "Teacher, do you not care if we perish? Do you not care about us? What are you doing, just sleeping?" And so Jesus, he gets up, he's probably like rolling his eyes at these guys, and says, "Storm, be still." And the disciples, what they were left with, they were left in fear. This man who controlled what was considered the uncontrollable, he controlled it. Who is this man? Even the winds and the waves obey him. They were afraid of who he was. So right now, just take a second. You can close your eyes if you want, or just think back and try to remember the most chaotic moment in your life. Or maybe think about the biggest storm in your life. Maybe it was a time when the world shut down. We had to keep 6 feet distance from everyone. And in one day, everything changed. We had to wear masks when we went out. We were actually not even really supposed to leave our house for the longest time. Teachers in this room, you were now teaching through a computer screen. Students in this room, you were now learning through a computer screen. It was crazy. It was chaotic. Maybe it was the moment where you were nervous if you were able to pay the bills this month. Finances weren't lining up, and you were nervous about how everything, paying for everything, was going to go. Maybe the chaotic moment was the first time you brought home a newborn baby. I don't necessarily have experience with this, but I've heard it's crazy. I heard you don't get a lot of sleep. Heard you don't eat very much. Here you drink a lot of coffee. I'm sure that's pretty chaotic. Or maybe you're sitting here and it's life right now. You have 3 kids in school who are all in different activities. They all need to be transported every which way. You have your own job. You have to cook food or at least feed these kids that you transport everywhere. You kind of have to clean the house, I guess. And you probably have a spouse that you're like supposed to like talk to and connect with also. It's just crazy. You can't catch your breath. And there's probably some of you in this room right now saying, "Rachel, I came here to forget about all of that. Why are you reminding me of what I'm going home to?" Well, just think about it. When I think back to the most chaotic moments in my life, it was a period in my life where I was planning a wedding. My husband and I, we were also looking to buy a house that we'd move into after the wedding. And then we found a house, and it was great. It was awesome. The market was crazy. We found a house. But it needed a little bit of work, and there's a picture, I think, up here, kind of. That's how I felt about working on my house every day, in and out, while planning a wedding. A lot of you would say, "Okay, that's a lot. That's enough. Leave it there." Not me. I said, "You know what's a great idea? Let's plan 2 student retreats, weekend retreats, the month prior to my wedding." And so you can see two groups that I got to go camping with Shameless student ministry plug here. We have a camping trip coming up in a couple weeks. Deadline to register is March 31st. Hop online, register. So there's my shameless plug for you guys. But it was crazy. Planning a wedding, remodeling a house, leading, planning these trips, being away from the house remodel for 2 weekends in a row. It was crazy. I don't know if I've caught my breath yet. It's like a year later. Something that I want to remind you guys of when we're thinking about these chaotic moments. We have these care resource cards. They're on the back tables. They have just some contact information. If you are feeling like you're in this constant spiral and you just need to talk to someone, if you just need to step out of life and have someone else speak into you, grab these cards. When I think back to this time in my life, this is the first time that I reached out and got some help with counseling. I was stressed, I was anxious, I wasn't sleeping, and really I just wanted someone to talk through life with me. I wanted them to remind me that it was okay. I wanted them to teach me some different coping mechanisms. It wasn't some super serious, intense counseling. It was just good to meet with someone and talk through life. And so if you feel like you're in this moment, I encourage you to grab one of the cards around the room. If you're not in one of these moments, grab one of the cards at the tables. Stick it in your wallet, stick it in your desk, so you have it when you or when a friend is in a time of need. So when we originally started this Mark series back a couple months ago, Matt, he opened up the series with telling us how the book of Mark was wrote for Gentile converts, probably, and it was probably meant to be read out loud. And so where we're going to get into today in Mark 5, it's a very descriptive story. It's a story that if you close your eyes, you can really feel like you're in the story. And so I'm going to go ahead and start reading in verse 1. And if you would like to, either it'll be on the screen, you can close your eyes and really picture it, however you feel comfortable. But I'm going to start reading chapter 5, verse 1. It says, they came to the other side of the sea, to the country of the Gerasenes. And when Jesus stepped out of the boat, immediately there met him out of the tomb, a man with an unclean spirit. He lived among the tombs, and no one could bind him anymore, not even with a chain. For he had been bound by shackles and chains, but he wrenched the chains apart, and he broke the shackles into pieces. No one had the strength to subdue him. Night and day among the tomb and on the mountains, he was crying out and cutting himself with stones. So they had just crossed the Sea of Galilee. They made it through the crazy storm. The disciples were like, who is this man that we're traveling with? And then we get here. This man approaches him. This man who was living a life of chaos. No one could bind him. He would pull the chains apart, break the shackles into pieces. Nothing could handle him because the unclean spirits within him were so strong. And see, Satan can operate a lot like this in our lives today, leaving us frustrated, feeling helpless, unable to take control of our own lives, living a life of chaos. It says that he was crying out and cutting himself with stones. He was in so much pain, but he couldn't do anything about it. We see he was forced to make his home among the tombs. This man was living where the dead were buried. Satan, his ultimate goal in our life is to move us to a place of darkness, a place of deadness, away from life, away from life. He wants to immerse us in despair and hopelessness and does so by directing us to a lot of these dead ends. For this man, literally directing him to a place where he was living with the dead. And then continuing in verse 6, says, when he saw Jesus from afar, he ran and fell down before him, crying out loud in a loud voice, and said, what have you to do with me, Jesus, Son of the Most High God? I adjure you by God, do not torment me. For he was saying to him, come out of the man, you unclean spirits. This man, his whole life was defined and overtaken by deadness, lack of control, and self-destruction. But see, despite all of this, all that's going on in this man's life, there was one thing that he had in his favor. Jesus showed up. Jesus stepped into this man's world. A man who'd never seen Jesus before recognized who he was immediately. I think it's easy to say that these unclean spirits within him, these demons within him, they knew who Jesus was. They acknowledged him as the Son of the Most High God and begged not to be tormented. See, these spirits even tried to plead with God, saying, "Don't torment us. Please don't." As I was preparing for this message, I came across a quote by a man named Sinclair Ferguson, and he wrote a book on the Gospel of Mark, and this is what it said. "Would you not think that a man with such profound need would yield readily to Jesus, the deliverer? Well, theoretically, we would. But to think that would suggest that we understand the human heart all too superficially. No man yields to Jesus easily by nature. And tragically, like Legion, men often hold onto the bondage and evil rather than yield to the pain of transformation by Christ's power and grace." So we can be just like this man. We can be so close to freedom, yet we're still waiting and wanting to cling to what is holding us captive. Maybe it's the sin in our lives. It's so comfortable. We know it so well. We like it. We want to cling onto it, but we are so close to freedom. Maybe it's the addiction in your life. Maybe, again, it's just really comfortable. You know it really well. You want to just keep living that life. You just keep it back a little bit so it's not really in the front of everything. You just like it. You want to keep living it. But we are so close to freedom. So today's message, it's going to be broken up in about three pieces. And each part is going to have a take-home point. And we've approached the first take-home point here. And that is that Jesus acts. And this year, this is really the basis of hope in all Christianity, that Jesus acts. This man approached Jesus as he got out of the boat. Jesus didn't just observe him and see him and see what's going on and see how miserable of a life this man is living. He got involved. He did what nobody else could do and really what everyone else gave up hope on. He told the unclean spirits to vacate, to leave him. Jesus acts. So the second part that we're going to jump into now starts in verse 9. It says, "And Jesus asked him, 'What is your name?' He replied, 'My name is Legion, for we are many.' And he begged him earnestly not to send them out of the country. Now a great herd of pigs, they were feeding on the hillside, and they begged him, saying, 'Send us into the pigs, let us enter them.' And so he gave them permission, and the unclean spirits came out and entered the pigs, and the herd, numbering about 2,000, rushed down the steep bank into the sea and drowned in the sea." So in this section, what do we see here? Well, it starts off with Jesus asking this man's name. He wanted to be personal. He wanted a relationship. He wanted to get to know him a little bit. But what does he say? He says, "My name is Legion, for we are many." If you're unaware, a legion is a Roman military division. It's about 6,000 soldiers. And what we see after that is when they were sent into the pigs, 2,000 pigs were overtaken by the unclean spirits. So we could only imagine what kind of chaos was going on in this man's body, mind, and his physical actions, right? The power of balance between these two men was unmistakable. Christ, he's in complete control of this situation. And at his word, the demons, they flee into the pigs. And see, this is where we get to our second take-home point today. And that, the fact that the unclean spirits, they begged not to be tormented. And suddenly, for the first time in a long time, probably these spirits, their whole like existence, they were no longer in charge. There was a greater authority than theirs. Something that no human could contain, could tame, could control. It bowed. He bowed to Jesus as soon as he saw him. As utterly helpless and hopeless as this man's condition was, Jesus was able to save him. There's no power on earth or anywhere else that is greater than Christ's power to save. And when our lives, when they seem to be total chaos, when we seem to be helpless, hopeless, when everything seems to be out of control, and when we can't seem to get it together, Christ intervenes and he exercises his authority. See, with Christ, we move from darkness into light, from deadness into life. In Mark 4, the waves, they listen to Jesus by his command. And now these unclean spirits, they're driven out of this man by Jesus' command. Jesus, he brings order out of disorder. He is power over chaos. So first point, Jesus acts. He acted. He changed this man's life. And the second point, that he is power over chaos. When our life is broken into pieces and we can't seem to get it together and everything is going on and our minds are spinning and we don't know what's going on, Jesus is power over that. He acts and he's power over that chaos. Our schedules, they're out of control. Sickness hits our family when we have conflict with friends, when everything seems to be falling apart, when everything seems to be complete chaos. We have Jesus, and he acts in those moments. I think he could have ended the story here. This man, the spirits, unclean spirits have left. They are in the pigs. The pigs go to the sea. They drown. That's crazy. This is not a kid's Bible story. But it could have ended there. This man is better. He's healed. All good. But that's not where Mark decides to end the story. And continuing in verse 14, says the herdsman fled and told it in the city and in the country. And people came to see what it was that had happened. They came to Jesus and saw the demon-possessed man, the one who had the legion, sitting there, clothed and in his right mind, and they were afraid. Those who had seen it described to them what had happened to the demon-possessed man and to the pigs. And they began to beg Jesus to depart from the region. And as he was getting into the boat, the man who had been possessed with the demons begged him that he might go with him. And he did not permit him, but he said, "Go home to your friends and tell them how much the Lord has done for you and how he has had mercy on you." And he went away and began to proclaim in the Decapolis how much Jesus had done for him. And everyone marveled. They don't celebrate. What? This man whose shackles and chains couldn't bound him anymore, he was living in the tomb with the dead. He was better. He was clothed. He was in his right mind. But they didn't celebrate. They begged Jesus to leave their area. That's crazy to me. But I think there's two reasons that these people had, which I don't know if I say justifies, but can explain why they begged Jesus to leave. See, one reason, this is the smaller reason, but I think it's still really important to note. Remember, we're in a Gentile region across the Sea of Galilee. We're in a Gentile region here. While Jews weren't allowed to eat or sell pigs, Gentiles could. And knowing that Jesus killed 2,000 pigs, it's what they see in their minds. Jesus killed 2,000 pigs. That was a lot of income. That was a lot of food that just drowned in the sea. It was a huge financial loss for them, and I'm sure that didn't make them very happy with Jesus. But the bigger reason in all of this that they want him to leave is I think they want to ignore everything that just happened. They don't want to think about it. They don't want to understand. They don't want to be enlightened by Jesus. They just want to continue living their comfortable lives. Remember what we said earlier about being so close to freedom, but wanting to remain comfortable where we're at. I think that's what's going on here. In the original Greek text, when it says that the herdsmen were afraid, it's afraid was also the same word used to describe the disciples when they were on the boat, when they were afraid that Jesus just calmed the storm. The disciples, they were afraid because they didn't understand. And I think that's exactly why the herdsmen were afraid. But see, the disciples, they moved into a more head idea that they were in awe of Jesus' power. But the herdsmen, they didn't want this man with such power living among them. This man, he couldn't control demons. Why would they want him living with them? That was scary, I'm sure, not understanding. So they begged him to leave. See, Mark uses these two stories, the calming of the storm and the unclean spirits leaving this man. In the next two stories that we're going to talk about next week, he uses these two stories to help the reader, remember, probably originally Gentile people, but now us, he uses these stories to move into a deeper faith and away from fear. This man who was cleaned from or healed from unclean spirits, he understood who Jesus was. He moved from fear into faith. From fear into faith. And so much so that this man, he wanted to travel with Jesus. He wanted to be a part of Jesus' movement with the disciples. He wanted to join Jesus' team. He begged to go with him. And normally what we would see here, and a lot of times what we see in Scripture, when Jesus heals someone, go home. Don't tell anyone about it. Don't share what just happened. Just keep it on the down low. Just keep it chill, right? But that's not what we see here. He says, go home and to your friends and tell them how much the Lord has done for you, how he has had mercy on you. Jesus didn't spend a ton of time training this man. This guy, he didn't go to Bible school. He didn't go to seminary school. He wasn't raised in a Christian family. But shortly after his salvation, Jesus was sending him out to share the gospel. This man, he didn't know a lot. He probably didn't have every answer to every question. But what he knew what Jesus had done in his life, how Jesus has changed his life. And he could tell others and share that with others. And I think this is exactly what Jesus wants us to do. And this is our third take-home point here. Remember the times where Jesus has overcome the chaos in your life, and share those stories with others. Remember where Jesus acted in your life. Remember where he had power over the chaos, over the storms in your life, and share those with others. Your testimony is one of the strongest ways to show who Jesus is. Sharing his grace, his love, his compassion, and how it has truly impacted and how it's changed your life. So now we're going to head into a time of communion. If you have not yet grabbed your communion, they're on the black tables in the back. Feel free to get up and go do that. But while you guys are getting that already, I have a couple questions that I want you to ponder. So what about you? Where does life feel chaotic for you? Where are you experiencing fear? Where are you experiencing fear? What feels disorienting to you? What part of your life do you need to invite Jesus into? And how can you share about what Jesus has done in your life with those who don't know him? How has Jesus acted? How has he acted in your life? How has he shown power over the chaos, over the storms, over the trials in your life? And how can you share that with others? The song we just sung a little bit ago, he is victory. In every battle, he is overcome. He's overcome the cross. He's overcome sin. He's overcome death for us. So we don't have to live a life of chaos, a life in the storm weather. He's overcome all that. He's already said, be still, rest in me, enjoy my comfort, and my peace, and my love, and my compassion. And so I'm going to pray for us, and we'll take communion. But just remember how Jesus acted on the cross. Remember that he died for your sins, and that we're forgiven, and that we don't need to be living in this life of chaos. So let me pray. Lord, I thank you so much for these stories. They seem so crazy, and just we don't really understand them at first, but how much depth there really is to them. And Lord, I just thank you for Mark for writing these stories that we can read out loud and share together in church. Lord, I pray just as we go throughout our weeks, as we're sitting here right now, that we might be living in a storm, that life might be really tough right now. Lord, I pray that we can lean on you, that we can see how you're acting, how you're moving in our lives, that we can feel your power over all that is going on. And Lord, I pray that we can go from here and share with our friends and our family how you've impacted our lives and how you've changed us and how you've loved us and how you've shown compassion on us. Lord, be with us this week. Let us receive you. Let us receive your power. And let it be power over the chaos in our life, Lord. We love you, and it's in your name we pray. Amen.
Thanks for listening. You can stay connected with us throughout the week by following Parkside on social media. To learn more, visit parksidechristian.com.